The station with more hair, more flair, yet so debonair.
RadioInfluence.com. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, where we talk everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. It's a big show this week as we continue our discussion of next week's UMAF National Championships. We will speak with a great lineup of competitors from that event, including Megan Poe, Ava Mai, Josh Cumby, and Chase Bowell. As always, we will also address your questions during our question and answer segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined as always by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, it's been a little bit of a break, but it's about to get really crazy. We're talking about 3 days of nonstop MMA action with these UMAF Nationals.
Yeah, man, we're excited. It's certainly a daunting task in front of us to put on a 3-day event like this with so many competitors. But I think we're up to it. I'm excited. And, it's going to be really cool to be able to crown national champions right here in our backyard.
So not only can you catch it here, of course, you're going to have not only can you buy the tickets each day, you can buy a 3-day pass. And if you're not in the area, if you can't make it here, because, again, it is a national-level tournament, so there are going to be people in California and Washington State and all those great places, fans that want to watch from those locations, you can also see it on Flow Combat, and that's going to be affordable as well, right?
Yeah, man. You know, you really can't beat it. It's, you subscribe to Flow Combat, which is already a great value. But, if people are looking to tune in for the Nationals, this will be the first time that it's ever been, broadcast live. Last year we had some people that went, and I would have loved to have been able to keep up with how they're doing. So we're excited to be able to provide that feature for this event. And, you can subscribe to Flow Combat, and, not only do you get all the content that's already there from lots of great promotions, including, all of our stuff since April of last year. But on top of that, you get to watch all 3 days of the tournament. And, we were originally going to go with two cages, but now I think we've got it kind of ironed out where we're going to run one cage. And, if you on one feed and, if you tune in, you're going to be able to see literally every fight of the tournament. You'll see every round, every fight.
And that's a massive, beautiful cage, right? 32 feet. Yeah. Beautiful, and you, what more could you expect from the UMAF Nationals? Now, before we get started, one thing on a somber note, I got to send condolences out to the family of David Denton, who passed away this past Tuesday night. Of course, we saw David back in action at Valor Fights 42, and he was actually matched for the upcoming 50-50 Fight Night 2 on June 16th. But we lost him last Tuesday, and it was a stunning loss and much too soon for this young man. Tim, your thoughts on David and this heartbreaking loss?
It's really sad. We didn't know David real well, but, he made his debut with us in Newport just about a month ago, right at like almost to the day. And, we kind of gone over, he had been incarcerated there for some time and was trying to use MMA as a way to kind of turn his life around. So I was hoping, that it was working. We had him booked again, and apparently he had some issues that were much more serious than what anyone knew, unfortunately. And I hate it. My condolences to his family. I hate that happened.
So very sad. And of course, we lost Michael Cockerham just a few months ago as well. And those are, it's always awful to see a brethren of mixed martial arts that we see so often in this world. We lose them that way. It's so sad. So, condolences to the family of David Denton, all of his friends, and our prayers are with you. Now, let's move on. It was UFC Dallas this past weekend. We saw a lot of big action, of course, headlined by Stipe and JDS. Stipe makes his mark, man. A big KO, and he retains the title. What did you think about this fight?
I really didn't know what to tell you the truth. I bet on JDS, but, Stipe is just a stud. He's rolling. And, that was a pretty rough KO loss for JDS. He folded him up, so big win for Stipe, man. He's hot.
Yeah. Of course, the other champion, Joanna Zedrick, retains her title over Jessica Andrade, but Andrade, man, she delivers back. She fights her heart out. It was apparent that she was overmatched, but she never gave an inch.
Yeah, she's tough. She hung right in there. I mean, she certainly gave a good accounting of herself, but Joanna, she's just so good, so technical, so crisp, and it's just, I don't know who's going to beat her. It was a great performance by both ladies, but champion retains, and like I said, I don't know who's going to knock her off.
Well, moving on, it was Damian Maia with the split decision over Jorge Masvidal, Frankie Edgar with a doctor stoppage over Yair Rodriguez, and of course, it was the Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier no contest, ruled a no contest. Some believe that it should have been ruled a disqualification. And among them is Dustin Poirier himself. Talk about it, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy because, I mean, I think, a lot of people may have used the argument that he wasn't, with the new unified rules or whatever, that was okay. But I'm sure that they went over, multiple times, that those weren't in effect there. And it seemed like Eddie really kind of measured him up for it, too. It was like he paused like before he did it. And he's just like, yep, screw it. Bam, it was unfortunate end because that one was starting to heat up. That fight was starting to get good. And, Eddie was hurt and Poirier had him on the ropes there and Eddie survived and started hurting him. And so it's unfortunate. I'm sure they'll run that back.
Well, Herb Dean stands behind his call, but we shall see if the decision is ultimately overturned. Now, moving on, it was Next Level Fight Club in Raleigh, North Carolina. That was Saturday night. Myself and Vince were there calling the action. It was a great lineup of fights. Big main event, Marquez Daniels taking on DeJuan Dirty South Owens. You know DeJuan very, very well. It was a war, in my estimation. DeJuan took round one. Daniels took round two. And then at the end, it was razor close transitions, back and forth reversals, big shots. But ultimately, it was DeJuan Owens coming out on top with a split decision victory. That was a great night of fights. Tim, DeJuan, talk about him.
Yeah, DeJuan's always exciting, man. He's one of these guys that, he's going to put on a good fight. He's he's an outgoing guy and always is out there to put on a show. So, good congrats to him. He's a true vet and a true pro.
Yeah, it was a big co-main event as Jillian Robertson took on Hannah Seifert. Of course, Seifert is known for her Muay Thai prowess. She is your quintessential striker. Jillian Roberts was having none of it. She closed the distance right out of the gate, and it was submission attack one after another. It was amazing. I thought, honestly, that she had broken Hannah Seifert's arm on several occasions. Seifert's so tough, refusing to tap out. Ultimately, it was the rear naked choke by Jillian Robertson that sealed the deal in round two. What a fight. Tim, you like the ladies of MMA, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've heard good things about Cyphers leading up to this. I wasn't familiar with the other lady, but, good, high level skilled female mixed martial artists, especially pros in this region are that's a hot commodity. They're not saying there aren't any out there, but, it's certainly not as highly populated as the men. And so it's definitely good to hear about two highly skilled ladies going at it.
Well, Jillian Robertson is a name that you're going to want to keep an eye on out of ATT down in Florida. So tough, tough girl, and huge props to her. Our feature bout was Jeremy Perdue and Chase Gamble. Chase Gamble is a guy that's been around Next Level Fight Club since the start. Now, of course, we saw him in his last outing. He was on the receiving end of the big power bomb to Alan Crowder. But in that fight, he had stepped up a weight class all the way up to heavyweight. This bout was, in fact, a middleweight matchup. But Jeremy Perdue, he came on early, landed a big shot on Gamble, and really Chase was never able to get the ball rolling. Jeremy Perdue wins by TKO, and it really sets the stage for a lot of matchups to come there at Next Level Fight Club. I think it was a great event, and we look forward to seeing them back in September. The next day is September 16th. Now, that's not the only way that Next Level Fight Club has been in the news. They are in large part a huge factor in this upcoming Bellator event. Of course, the first Bellator NASCAR event here in Charlotte, and that's coming up this weekend. And it's headlined by Alan Crowder and Robert Neal. We're also going to see Jeremy Holloway taking on Jacob McClinic. Jeremy Holloway, we've seen him at Bellator before, and he's a very, very tough individual. Mike Stevens and LaShawn Alcox. LaShawn Alcox is actually the Next Level Fight Club lightweight champion. And then Alan Bowes versus Chris Crawford. So I'm excited to see how that pans out. Of course, Bellator's got a huge lineup of events scheduled for this NASCAR circuit. What do you think about this whole NASCAR and Monster Energy and Bellator kind of conglomerate?
Man, I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's certainly a great way to get, branding out there to a cross section of fans that are certainly liable to go hand in hand with MMA. So, you know, I think Bellator is going to get their name out there, their brand out there to, you know, multitudes of thousands of people that are, that are right in the wheelhouse for what they're looking to do. So, and it also kind of gets them into some different markets, just kind of, loosely that they haven't already been in.
Absolutely. Test markets. And of course, opportunities for fighters that have never been exposed to Bellator previously. So I'm excited for it. Of course, Bristol Motor Speedway is coming in August, and that's right down the road from me. So I'm very, very excited for that. So moving on, it is time to take the show to the people for our weekly Q&A session. We have selected five questions that hit home the most and particularly pertain to this week's show. Of course, that is UMAF Nationals. Tim, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, here we go. First question. Tim, what has been the biggest challenge in putting together such a large tournament?
There's been several, from our beginning snafus with our venue there. They got pulled out from underneath us. You know, honestly, that was a pretty quick fix, though. You know, we got the new venue in just a matter of a few days. So, you know, that was a bit of a stressor, but we got it fixed pretty quick. You know, really, it's just holding these brackets together. I mean, you're talking about trying to hold together a lot of people and, you know, just the nature of this whole beast, you know, just people pull out of fights just all the time. So when you're talking about, you know, trying to get 80 to 100 people out here, you're going to have drops. And so, you know, just keeping these brackets kind of, filled out has been probably the biggest challenge, and you know, making sure that it's quality people.
Absolutely. Well, the way I see it, I think it's for a lot of people that have not been familiar with how mixed martial arts promoting works, it's a tough call to put on a national tournament. We do have some locals here, but I know that you're going to agree, it's not easy to sell tickets and make a draw in a local region with some fighters that that are not as well known in this region, but we have a big push here, of course, with Matt Hughes. He's going to be in attendance. And, you know, I think there's a great buzz here with a lot of people just wanting to come out and see some of the top competitors in the region. What say you?
Yeah, man, I agree, actually. I think, people are excited about it. I'm hoping that, teams that don't necessarily have guys involved will still come out and support their fellow regional guys, you know, their fellow Valor competitors that are trying to make a run in this thing. I think we're going to see some of that. And, you know, the town of Elizabethan is certainly excited. You know, they're excited to host this thing, and, you know, it's going to be a big deal.
So, of course, we're going to move on to question number two. And, you know, there has to be a lot of questions that go into, you know, the promotion of this event, particularly from the fighters. You know, when you approach them, of course, there are a lot of fighters coming from different regions that have nothing to do with Valor. But particularly the Valor competitors, they had to qualify and they had to get in the mix of this. And I'm sure you got a lot of crazy questions as to what exactly this was, how it was going to run. What's the funniest question that a fighter's asked you about the tournament?
Oh man, you know, I mean, no, I don't want to put anyone down or anything like that. We've had some guys that just really probably, you know, they really don't take it seriously enough, you know, to probably do something like this, that have, you know, have asked about jumping in and some things like that. But that isn't really, I don't guess, that funny. I guess, man, funniest question, man, Here's something completely just out of left field. It's not a fighter though. Shit, I was going to give you a funny in our venue that pulled the rug out from underneath us, asked us if we were going to give him $15,000 for the venue. That was pretty funny. Let's see. Ah, man, funniest question a fighter has asked about the tournament. I would say, man, I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to fail on this one. I'm like completely bombing. I haven't really had anything that's just been too crazy.
All right, question number three. Which bracket is the most competitive in your estimation?
Shoo-wee. There are some good ones, man. You know, I'd say, just kind of looking at this thing from top to bottom, that, you know, 185 looks like it is going to be, you know, just stocked. You know, there's like everybody in 185 is tough. 170, even though it's not completely full, there's a lot of really good guys, you know, between David Robbins, Ben Bennett, and Angelo Rivera. That's three guys that can win. And then, of course, 155, right? Those ones all in the middle there are like loaded. I'd say 55, 70, and 85. I got to pick one. I'm going to say 55.
Well, and then you can't leave out light heavyweight where you've got, you know, John Hall rolling in there. And that's going to be pretty tough. And, it's not as deep, but John Hall, Jared Short, a guy that we saw in action a few months ago up at Warrior FC, and also Nick Jewell. I'm excited to see those. Ultimately, though, I do have to agree with you. The 185, we've got two guys, Josh Cumbie, who we're going to speak with later, and Bubba Cruz, both in action. That's going to be really stacked. And, of course, we're going to speak with Ava, and in that 145 division that he's going to be competing in is going to be pretty stacked as well. So I'm really excited about that. These guys are going to be very, very busy all weekend long. Question number four, who do you think is going to turn the most heads next weekend? And I'm talking about competitors. I'm not talking about my wife, Jennifer.
Yeah, good one. Man, there's some good guys. I'm going to toot our own guy's horn, though. You know, I'm going to say, I think that Billy Swanson has got a real good chance to run the table on his. You know, David Robbins and probably, you know, Ava, you know, Ava Mai, you know, those guys can all make a run. And, you know, and don't count out Chase Boutwell. He's only 2-0, but just a stud talent. And it would be something else if he can run through that his division as well. But if I'd say who's going to turn the most heads next week, man, I'm going to put it on my boy David Robbins to show out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in action just 2 weeks ago, he will be back in action, potentially competing three times in the weekend. It's going to be a tall order for him. Anxious to see Keith Olsen in action again as well, man. Undefeated prospect right here in the Tri-Cities region. I'm anxious to see him get back in there and compete. So I think it's going to be, it's going to be great from top to bottom. And that's not discounting any of that national talent that's going to be in action as well. Question number five is going to close things out. What do you think the talent level of this tournament tells about the future of mixed martial arts in America?
It's on the rise, man. I mean, there are so many studs in this tournament that should be pro, that are pro level guys that are essentially using this as a springboard to start their pro career. So you've got just a load of pro level guys and girls that'll be joining us to fight it out for, you know, the top accolade for amateurs before they turn pro. But you look at guys like Will Starks and Shorty Torres, who have done this tournament multiple times and done very well. They have immediately springboarded into, you know, high level pro action, with Torres being, you know, he's the Titan champion already at only 4-0. So, I think it's a testament to just the overall level from top to bottom increasing. You see these amateurs, just coming in as pros and immediately having an impact.
Absolutely. And if, of course, you mentioned Chase Boutwell there. You know, this is a kid who just turned 18 years old. So when you're talking about the future of MMA, I mean, it really, that is the epitome of the future, because this kid is going to probably, the way fighters, you know, they're going to be fighting into their mid-30s, late-30s, into their 40s. You know, that's a 20-year-plus time span for someone like that. And of course, throughout the standard Valor roster, of course, last weekend we saw Chase against Stone Beverly, who is another one that just turned 18. You've got Ava, who is 19 years old. You've got Preston Schick, one of my kids, who's 19 years old. All these kids are doing big things on the Valor roster, and two of the four are going to be in competition at UMAF Nationals. So I'm very, very excited about that. Tim, thanks for your insight into this work and preparation into the UMAF Nationals. I'm sure that our listeners are very interested in hearing about it, and they're going to be even more interested when they arrive there at the venue next weekend. It's going to be amazing. Now, this is not all. We have a great lineup of guests tonight, all of which will be in action there next weekend, and we're going to get to those now. Our first guest is Megan Poe. She is a 3-1 amateur fighter out of Virginia. We saw her last at Valor Fights 40, where she battled Fatini Candris in an absolute war. She will be back in action next week at the UMAF Nationals, where she represents Valor Fights in the female bantamweight division. Megan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. So, man, the Nationals is potentially, you know, three fights in one night. You know, talk about it and talk about your preparation and so forth.
Well, I signed up a little bit late, probably around April 30th. So I wasn't for sure that I was going to do it for a while. And then when I finally signed up, I've been doing a lot of cardio for trying to get ready, probably about twice a day, running, training about five times a week. So I'm trying to make sure I'm ready with everything that I need when I get in there. So,
well, as Casey mentioned, you know, we just saw you back in Nashville back in February at Valor 40. You delivered a great performance there against Fatini, as we mentioned earlier. Showed a great chin and a lot of heart and fight in you, because you know, the first round you dropped it, and there was an argument that you came back and got the last two. It was a very close decision. You know, talk about your training and you know, your training partners there. You're with the Iron Lock there with some great grapplers like Jason Coomer. No secret that your boyfriend is pro fighter Chachi Tabor. I'm sure he's a great training partner. You guys fight in the same weight class, so you know, just talk a little bit about you know, your team and some of your training.
For training, we've definitely been working on wrestling and making sure that those takedowns don't happen again, or at least if they do happen, I can get in better positions and then hopefully try for a bunch of different submissions. But we have a lot of great grapplers, great wrestlers that I'm able to work with, which Ned Spears, he also fought the same night that we fought, and he's actually a wrestling coach. So we've been over there a couple times practicing with him, and then Jay works with us every night. And then I have a bunch of people around my same weight class, so I get a lot of work in.
So, you are known for your striking, particularly your quick hands and combinations. You know, you mentioned just now that you don't want to be taken down, which means you want to let those hands go. You know, talk about your development as a fighter. Where do those fast hands come from? And is that indeed what you want to showcase at these UMAF Nationals?
I started off at Audia's boxing gym. If you haven't heard of him, he was a really good professional fighter around this area. So I started off there. And that's pretty much what I love to do. I don't know. There's something about standing up and beating on people that kind of brings the fun to it. But I'm comfortable going anywhere. That's just my favorite thing to do.
Well, you know, women's MMA is certainly, you know, rising in popularity more than ever as of late. You know, talk about what it's like to be, you know, a female in a sport that's been historically dominated by males.
Well, at first it was kind of rough because not a lot of people want to work with a girl because they think she's not serious about it or she won't stay in it very long. So it took about a good year. And then I wrestled in high school, and it was the same problem. They didn't really want to work with you. But my coach, he was really good about trying to get everybody to go hard with me because they were afraid that, you know, they didn't want to hurt the girl that was going there. So he was really good about getting everybody to treat me about the same as everybody else. And then about after a year or so, everybody just got used to it, and then it's not weird anymore, but it's come a long way at our gym so far.
So talk about, you know, of course, any of your social media plugs, all of, you know, your shout outs, your friends, your family, all of your supports, and tell everybody, all of our listeners, why they should come out to UMAF Nationals to watch you in action.
Well, if you come out to watch me, you better be expecting a lot of standing, a bunch of great technique. And then all the fighters are just going to be absolutely amazing. It's the top fighters from all over the United States. So they're going to be sure to put on a great show. And then I just want to thank Iron Lock and Main Event for being my sponsor. And then all my family, my friends for all that they do because I couldn't do it without them.
And those social media plugs, where can we find you? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Oh, for sure, Facebook. I'm always on there. And then Instagram, at Megan Poe, so it'll be pretty easy to find.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Megan. Megan Poe returns to action next weekend at UMAF Nationals. Thank you, Megan, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We are here with Ava Mayi. He is a 3-1 mixed martial arts competitor out of Nashville MMA, and he will be representing Valor Fights next weekend at the UMAF Nationals in the featherweight division. Ava, how are you doing tonight, and how's that training going?
Oh, man, I'm going great. Training's going amazing. Just finished up my last hard sparring. Now it's time to cut this weight.
You know, it was almost a year ago. June will be a year that you made your MMA debut with us. Just you know, not long after you turned 18, you won your debut match up there and by rear naked choke. I think it was against Leo Woods. And you know, you become one of our standouts, man, in both the bantamweight and featherweight divisions. Talk about the past year.
Oh man, the past year has been crazy. Yeah, my first fight was against Leo Woods. That was June 25th, Valor Fights 35, and yeah, that was almost a year ago, and it's been a year since I made my debut, and this is my fifth training camp in less than a year, so I'm ready to just get these wins and see what this next year holds.
Now, we've spoken about it before. You've competed in both the bantamweight and featherweight divisions. This time you're going to be in at 145 for all 3 days. Aside from, you know, it's going to be an easier, you know, it's going to be easier to make weight all 3 days. But talk about your plan and your approach stylistically for this 3-day event at that weight.
Right. So my main concern is just staying low and staying as close as I can to weight. Really just, I know once I get in the cage, I'm going to mess all these guys up. So that's not really what I'm worried about. It's just staying on point for weight and conserving my energy for the fights, because I'm going to be fighting 3 days in a row and I don't want to, you know, have an injury on one of my first fights and have to deal with that and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to pace myself perfectly, stay healthy and get through these fights.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. When you are preparing for 3 days, you can kind of look at it, you know, your grappling and your striking on each side is a double-edged sword. If you come out to strike, you could get hit, you could get cut and hurt. But if you are doing a lot of grappling, you know, that can also take its toll on your body as well. Right. As far as your game plan, what are you looking to do in order to, for self-preservation, moving into that second and third day?
Right. Mainly the key is just to be patient, really not to try to rush anything, because that's how I can get hurt sometimes. And really just picking my shots, staying composed, and then, you know, making through those fights. And then that third fight, just let everything out. That's really it.
You know, I'm not sure everyone knows, but you're originally from Kurdistan. You know, in addition to the attention that you're getting here, you know, in the United States, you've gotten quite a bit of attention from the press there, from the Kurdish press. You know, how does it feel to represent your family and friends, you know, from Kurdistan and kind of, you know, to my knowledge, be the only Kurdish fighter, certainly over here?
Yeah, man, it's amazing. You know, they show so much support, and they're overseas. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here fighting in Tennessee, and they're showing support overseas. So that's amazing. I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, I'm going to be representing two countries, you know, Kurdistan and Team USA. So I'm grateful to be representing both countries, and I'm just super excited for these fights.
Well, real quick, go ahead and give some shout outs as to why people should come out to the event, you know, and also, you know, if they're not within the region, why they should order on Flow Combat, particularly to watch Ava Mai.
Man, I'm the future. I'm only 18 years old, and I'm about to win my first national title, my first world title later this year. So if you want to see me win some world titles as a pro, some UFC belts, just keep following me in my career. Watch live on Flow Combat, May 26th, 7th, and 8th. Not just me, but a lot of other good fighters, some of the top amateurs in the country. We're all trying to grind it out, fight, represent Team USA, and we're all just trying to make it, man. So y'all make sure y'all come out, support. If you can't buy tickets, go to flowcombat.com.
So go ahead real quick. You know the routine. Give them all of your social media plugs. We need Facebook. We need Twitter. We need Instagram. All your shout outs and your love and any final comments that we need to know before next weekend.
All right. So I want to give a shout out to Nashville MMA, all my coaches, Lance Patrick, Sean Hammonds, Chris Beasley, all those guys, my family and friends. Yeah, they support me till the very end. And my Facebook is AHVAMAYI, Ava Mai. And my Twitter and Instagram are AHVAMMA. That's Ava MMA. And yeah, that's my social media. And the last word, you know, I heard I might get a buy round at 145. So if any of you 145ers dare stepping up, don't ruin my buy round for me, please, or I will hurt you. I promise I will hurt all of y'all. So let me get this bar now. This is my moment. Y'all don't have to show up. Let me just do my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It's Ava Mai. He will be in action live next weekend at UMAF Nationals. That is May 26th, 27th, and 28th. Of course, get your tickets now and order on Flow Combat. Ava, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We have Josh Cumby on the line with us tonight. Josh is a 5-1 mixed martial arts competitor coming off a unanimous decision victory over Bright Benson back at Valor Fights 42 and will be representing Valor Fights in the middleweight division at UMAF Nationals next weekend. Josh, how are you doing tonight and how is training going for this monumental event?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Just got done training not too long ago. A little late night, later than usual, but still getting after it like always, man. Ain't nothing different. Treating this like any other fight, just going that much harder, man, trying to get ready for it.
You know, you've quickly become one of the standouts with us here over the past few months. You've been busy and doing great. We saw you first at Valor 41. You had a knockout of the night there. Then you had a dominant victory in Newport over Bright Benson to get you to where you are now. Just kind of talk about these past couple fights. Your experience fighting with Valor these past few months, and these last few fights that you'd had a little bit of time off in between.
Yeah, it's been great, man. Been fighting back to back, like you said. It's taking a little toll on my body and everything. I've been getting real sick the past few weeks. I think just dieting and wearing myself out so much is just taking a toll on me. But still training hard, still getting after it. Valor, man, y'all been nothing but great to me. Y'all helped me out with everything, setting everything up, getting me the info I need and everything else. But other than that, man, training's been going good. Just trying to get ready for it as best as I can. I mean, it's kind of hard it being a 8-man tournament in my weight division and everything. So that's a little difficult to prepare for, as you can imagine. But just been trying to get after it.
Well, the Nationals are only a week away. You're in with names like Darian Weeks, Michael Cooper Mack, fellow Valor Fight standout Bubba Cruz. Of course, the brackets have not been released. You know, so how is your preparation different from normal, not knowing exactly who you will be fighting? And of those names, you know, which of those stand out?
Honestly, not many of the names stand out at all. I haven't been too focused on any of the guys. I've been focused a lot on myself. It's been relatively the same. We just been trying to get after it. I've been focused a lot more on training. Usually I focus on a lot of cardio, a lot of strength training, and training as in boxing, wrestling and jiu-jitsu and everything, but I've been spending a lot of time on technique and everything like that, because it being an 8-man bracket, I don't know who I'm facing as far as boxers, jits guys, wrestlers, so I've just been focused on a lot of technique and every little thing. But like always, I have been still going hard with my cardio and strength training, but been focusing a lot on technique with pretty much every aspect of MMA.
Well, you know, the winner of this tournament will represent Team USA, and they will advance to the world competition, the IMAF Worlds, which is you know, sponsored by UFC Fight Pass, and that's going to be this fall in Bahrain. You know, what are your thoughts on potentially representing the United States in international competition?
I'm excited, man. Honestly, I never saw myself doing anything like that. I'm just thankful to have the opportunity to even try for it. I mean, all this kind of popped up out of nowhere on me. Honestly, I was hounding Jared Williams about get me a fight. When are they going to get back in? And he got me in contact with you, and it's all been great since. I mean, since that first fight got me in the semifinal qualifier, I was able to win that one. Like you said, knockout of the night. Thankful for that, and then went up against Bright Benson, which in my opinion was one of my toughest opponents yet. I mean, he was just so tall and good striker. He caught me with a kick to the jaw one time, caught me with a good clean uppercut, just tough guy there. But I'm just thankful to be a part of it all, man. If I can get to this tournament and pick me up 3 wins and win me a national championship and get to Worlds, I'd be that much greater. But like I said, man, I'm just thankful to be able to even have the chance to compete for it.
Well, speaking about that Bright Benson fight, of course, you know, your first fight at Valor Fights 41, you landed that knockout. It was round one. It went quick. With Bright, you landed a big shot on him. You dropped him. He was able to persevere and ended up going the distance. You know, and that's very well something that could happen here at the Nationals. In your estimation, what is your best bet for getting in there and getting your opponents out of there quick? I'm certain that's what you want to do, especially in these early bouts. You want to get them, you know, out of there fast so you can prepare for the finals, right?
That'd be great. I mean, it definitely as least time in the cage as possible the first couple fights, just, you know, to keep me healthy if I make it to the championship round. But you mentioned the big knockdown in the first round with Bright Benson, and a lot of people asked me, why didn't he jump on top of him and ground and pound him, this, that, and the other. And in the cage, it's a lot different. Like, I got the big shot, landed it, and he fell, but it stunned him, but he was still aware. Like, he was looking at me and had one hand out and was trying to get up and everything, and I feel like if I would have got on top of him that he was still aware and everything and could have got me in some sort of submission or something like that. And so that's a big reason why I didn't jump on top of him. Like I said, a lot of people keep asking me that. But as far as the tournament and trying to end it early, like I said, I'd like to do that just to, like I said, keep myself healthy to get to the championship round. But as long as I win, man, and keep winning and hopefully make it to Sunday in the championship rounds, then I honestly don't care how I win, but if it's early, then that's that much better.
Well, Josh, go ahead real quick. Give all the shout outs, of course, your training partners, your coaches, everybody that deserves that shout out, as well as all of your social media plugs. We're talking about Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, appreciate it, man. My sponsors, Russ Cassidy, Down to Earth, Precision Metals, Josh Collins Heat and Air, Coastal Electric, Chief Alliance Motorcycle Club, Bachelors Automotive, Thelma and Louise. I think that's pretty much it. I want to just thank all my family, my close family that's been supporting me, my mom, my two brothers, my grandma, my mom's husband, all of them. They've been great supporters. Without them, I probably wouldn't be nowhere near where I'm at. My brother's wife, all their kids, they all support me. I mean, I've had my niece tell me if next time I lose that she's going to beat me up. So comments like that, they definitely help me. I mean, obviously, I'm not too worried about losing and her beating me up, but it's just cute that she's interested as a six-year-old. My training partner is just huge. Thanks to Adam Harry, man. He's been with me since the beginning, off and on. He's got a lot on his plate with school and everything and still has time to train with me. Big thanks to him. Aaron Gray, he's got a lot going on with himself, and he still finds time to help me train and everything. Mark Waller, he's big help. Let's see here. That's really it. That's been helping me train for this. It's been a little scarce. But, yeah, I think that's everybody. And as far as social media, Instagram, JForeverStrongC95. Follow me there. Facebook, just look me up, Josh Cumbie, or Joshua Cumbie, whichever one. I got mixed on both of those. But definitely follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I don't have a Twitter or nothing like that, so you just got to go to one of those. Other than that, man, that's about it.
Josh Cumbie returns to action at UMAF Nationals May 26th, 27th, and 28th as he represents Valor Fights. Josh, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. Y'all have a good night.
We are on the line with Chase Boutwell. Chase is a 2-0 mixed martial arts competitor fighting out of American Top Team and Rush MMA in Macon, Georgia. He's coming off a decision victory over Stone Beverly earlier this month at Border Wars and competes next weekend in the flyweight division at UMAF Nationals. Chase, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing
good, man. We're doing good. You know, we followed your growth before you turned 18 with, you know, just being able to do kickboxing and whatnot as a underage competitor. But, you know, finally at Valor 41, you're able to make your MMA debut. We had some turmoil there as we had, you know, a last minute pull out. We were able to finally get someone in there at the last minute. But, you know, talk a little bit about the evolution of your game from where you started, you know, several years ago, you know, as a child to where we are now.
Yeah, when I started, the first martial arts experience I've ever had was actually when I was about 8 years old. I started Kenpo Karate, and I did that for about a year and a half. And then I realized that, you know, I wanted more than just, you know, the striking element. So then I moved to a gym called Wolf Clan. It's actually closed now, but back when it was open, I was under Helio Seneca and Brandon Bledsoe. And then I was under them for about 3 years. And then I moved to Shield Systems, and that's where I started striking. I was about 13 at the time. I started striking, you know, starting kickboxing, you know, a little bit more legitimate than, you know, I ain't trying to knock Kenpo Karate down, but, you know, there's some things that are different. And, you know, I started doing both. And then when I moved to Georgia, I started doing, you know, kept doing kickboxing, kept doing jiu-jitsu, and then I added wrestling into the mix. So, you know, every time I've kind of moved, it's been like something's added to it. So I've been very fortunate to have that, you know.
Yeah, very cool. Honestly, I didn't even know that about you and Sinek. Sinek is actually going to be at my gym on Saturday. You know, he was my jiu-jitsu instructor since day one, so it's really cool. Now, let's talk a little bit about 2 weeks ago. Of course, we saw you in action at Border Wars against another 18-year-old high school senior in Stone Beverly. Right. Now, this matchup was very highly anticipated, but what we got was so much more. course, this was fight of the night, and your hand was raised. Talk about the experience.
Man, I appreciate it, by the way, you know, the compliment. Coming in a fight, man, I 100% expected Stone to try to take it to the ground. And that's kind of what I got ready for. You know, my camp was really around, you know, wrestling, takedown defense, keeping it on the feet. And then I got in the cage, and it was totally different than what I expected, man. I had to change it. I had to make adjustments while I was in there. You know, his style was so unorthodox, you know. It was definitely something more than when I was fighting him. It was more like a fight of myself. I had to change, you know, after the first round, what the game plan would be. Obviously, I wanted to get a takedown after I got dropped in the second round in the beginning to win the round. And then the ground and pound, man, like, we didn't work on it too much. It just felt kind of natural. And then, you know, that kind of won me the second round. Third round comes along. I think I score one or two takedowns, if I'm not mistaken. I land a couple of shots in the feet, you know. But, you know, the fight around was, it was a really good experience for me, mentally, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. What was it about his style that perplexed you the most? Meaning he had a lot of reach. He was a tall, lanky guy, but he did move his head very, like you said, very unorthodox. He's like all over the place. What about his style that, you know, was it that kind of shook you up and made you have to reevaluate?
Well, I trained with some very high-level guys, you know, with Lathan Lawson, Clinton Culpepper. And they're very good strikers, and they strike, in my opinion, almost perfectly. And I strike with perfect strikers. And then when I got in the cage and I saw him move his head under, you know, his head was really hard to hit. So it really enticed me to come in and try to, you know, throw five or six punches to hit him. And as I was doing it, my hands would drop. And then his right and left hand were coming right over the top. And, you know, he caught me a couple of times. And after he caught me, I was like, you know, something's got to change. You know, I can't just stand here and try to bang with this dude. So I kind of switched to leg kicks at the end of the first round. I noticed those were landing, so I thought I needed to stay on those. And then I kind of started to think that the leg kicks were going to substitute for my jab. So I started working off the leg kicks into my punches and the takedown. So that was kind of the story of it all. But really what threw me off was just the head movement. His head was so hard to hit because it was unorthodox. I've never trained with somebody like that. So it kind of just was something new that I needed to adjust to.
You know, we're just a week out until you're back in action again, potentially three times in 1 week, you being, you know, a newcomer to the game, not a newcomer to the game, but a newcomer to actually having, MMA fights. You're going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage here, with the bye system. You'll probably have to go, run all 3 days, with only two fights already. So, give us some insight into, how you've been preparing for this, both mentally and physically, knowing that you may have to go out there and go 3 days. I know you've wrestled, right. So, I'm sure you're used to tournament style.
Yeah. One thing I've actually experienced back when my only loss in kickboxing was when I was doing the World Championships in Florida, and I got a bye the first round, and it kind of threw me off. So I'm really happy about fighting all 3 days. It's kind of the way I want it. It messed with me mentally a little bit, you know, not fighting the first day and watch everybody fight. You would think it'd give me a mental edge, but it really doesn't. And then the way I'm training for this, man, I really didn't change anything. I think I said it before, like, I just kind of, when I train, man, I try to train, you know, everything as hard as I can. Not to the point where I'm injuring myself, but to the point where I'm always exhausted after my workouts. I try to always blow my lungs out after every time. That way, when I get in there, I always got the cardio factor. And I feel like that's what most fights come down to, is the cardio and the heart. You know, you can be the best striker in the world, but once you get tired, you start winging punches, you become the worst fighter in the world. So I feel like, you know, cardio and heart is really where I can beat anybody in the 125 division, 135 division.
Have you been able, as far as in your training, have you been able to mimic the sort of the tournament setting at all? Meaning in your training, you go in one day and then kind of test your recovery, your ability to recover, you know, and then kind of go in. Have you been able to kind of, you know, simulate that kind of experience?
Man, I have, but it wasn't really like a conscious thing I was thinking about. I go on there pretty much every day, man, and whether it's like, you know, Monday or Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday, we pretty much alternate. But I go in there, you know, I ain't going to lie, man. Most of the times when I go into the kickboxing, we're supposed to flow. And I bang it out with a lot of the guys in there. So it's pretty much like a fight with me, you know, with certain people every round. So it's like I'm fighting almost every day at the gym. Not to any point where it's, you know, any dangerous, more dangerous than normal. But I feel like my recovery time is you know, wonderful, you know. But anybody, obviously, you know, I got to watch out for the leg kicks. You know, I don't want to have welts in my legs coming the next day. But the game plan really, it's no secret, is kind of just grapple everybody, submit them, you know, ground and pound, take away the element of leg kicks and, you know, getting punched in the head. And I feel like that's where I can beat most of these guys, anybody.
Well, real quick, go ahead and give all the shout-outs, of course, your training partners, your coaches, all of your support group, as well as our social media plugs, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, all that good stuff.
All right. Let me give a shout-out to Bubby Mitchell. He's my coach. You know, he's been there helping me along the way. Quentin Culpepper, Layton Lawson, Homer Mangrum, Jake Clevenger, my parents, everybody at my high school who supports me. I love that. My teachers there who support me. And if you want to follow me on social media, my Instagram is ChaChaBumBumBoutwell. Facebook is just Chase Boutwell. And that's about it, man.
Chase Boutwell returns to action May 26th through 28th at the UMAF Nationals. Be sure to get your tickets now or order on Flow Combat today. Chase, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for the time.
And that being said, that does it, Tim, for yet another episode of the Valor Hour. I got to let everybody know you got to join us next week as we prepare for more big combat sports action on the horizon. Of course, next week we continue our discussion of the UMAF coverage and we give a full preview of the tournament. That's a big preview. And remember also to subscribe at iTunes and Stitcher and also get your tickets for UMAF Nationals at fightertix.com. The event goes down May 26th through 28th at Elizabethan High School. So you don't want to miss it. Tim, any closing comments?
Well, it's been a good one, man. This has been a fun episode as always. You know, we're excited to get into this the fight week, you know, coming up for this big tournament. And next week we'll jump into these brackets. Although we don't really know who anyone's fighting yet, maybe we'll kind of give everybody a little overview of the field and kind of our picks for some favorites out there. So, you know, stay tuned, man. We'll be back.
Well, I can't wait. And with that being said, for myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening. And join us next week for another episode of the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour. Powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
Here is Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera with an Inside the Dugout Quick Fix.
Red Adams was a longtime Dodger pitching coach. In fact, he just passed away himself, I think, about a year ago. My very first year as being a minor league catching instructor, he had a dinner in Florida. It was called Extended Spring Training, which we used to have in the Tampa St. Pete area. And Red was there as a roving pitching guy. He had retired from being a major league pitching coach, but he was still part of the organization. He hosted the dinner for myself, my girlfriend, which later became my wife. I remember Tommy Byers, who's with the Cubs now as a hitting instructor for so many years. His wife was there. Joe Alvarez and his wife was there. Joe was the manager at the time. And these names, some people may remember, some may not. But anyway, there was eight of us at the table. And when we got to the restaurant, it was a nice restaurant, a steakhouse. And Red said, number one rule, you can't sit by anybody that you know. In other words, you can't sit by your significant other. You can't sit by your wife or girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah. And that's where I learned it. That's where I learned about mixing up the clubhouse. And I said, wow, really? I can't sit by, you know, my fiance? He said, no, nobody can. And so what he did, he made me sit next to Joe Alvarez's wife. And then on the left, maybe it was Tommy Byers' wife. I never met either one of them. And next to him, next to my wife, might have been my girlfriend, might have been Joe Alvarez. And on the other side, it might have been Betty, Red Adams' wife. And she would have been next to another instructor's wife and guy instructor that was there. So in other words, the whole table of 8 or 10 of us was all mixed up. And the reason he did that, it was obvious as we got talking, because he wanted people talking to each other and instead of just talking to their significant other as they were at this dinner. He didn't want everybody just to be whispering, you know, to the other not talking to everybody else. He wanted
How amazing.
Yeah, you get the picture what I'm saying, right? And so it became a party. It became like, wow, this is awesome. So by the time that dinner was over, 2 hours, 2.5 hours later, all 8 people or 10 people, I can't remember if it was 8 or 10, but they all knew each other. We all knew something about the other. And the next time we saw them, hey, good to see you, Debbie. Good to see you, Irene. Good to see you. Know what I mean? It was like family.
Inside the Dugout with Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.